a Canadian journalist infiltrates an international network of violent extremists.
They don't care who they maim or hurt or kill.
White supremacists who want to spark a race war and incite the collapse of society.
Embrace the chaos, and from its ashes, a new world shall arise. To victory, white man!
I'm Michelle Shepherd, and I'll take you inside this movement to learn where it came from and where it's headed next. White Hot Hate, available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. There is a new trend on social media, and just a warning, it's uncomfortable to hear.
One, two, three, stay out.
That's the sound of a woman getting an IUD inserted and documenting the pain of the procedure on TikTok. An IUD, or intrauterine device, is a common form of birth control. It's touted as a low-maintenance option. Some IUDs can be left in for up to 10 years. But for many people, getting one inserted can be, as we just heard, very painful. Some Planned Parenthood offices in the United States are now offering sedation for the procedure, and there are calls here in Canada for better pain management. Jada Gannon Day had her IUD inserted when she was 18. She's in Ottawa. Jada, hello.
Good morning.
What did you know about this procedure and what it might be like before you had it done?
I knew very little about the actual insertion and the pain associated with it before I had it done. Most of the conversations that I had in my consultation and doing research online and things like that surrounded the effectiveness of the IUD as like compared to different birth control methods. Mm.
So did your doctor talk to you in the consultation? Did you hear at all about pain management?
No, not really. I kind of heard the standard, like that it could be uncomfortable and to maybe consider taking the rest of the day off, things like that. But I didn't really hear about the potential extent of the pain or how long it could last or anything like that.
And so if you don't mind me asking, what was it like to actually go through this, to have the IUD inserted?
For me, especially being 18 and not having had anything like that happen before, it was really shocking. It was a really intense and sharp pain immediately. And it was also just incredibly uncomfortable to even talk about. I didn't have the terminology. And then my gynecologist who inserted it told me I could stay in the room for a little bit. And she left and I didn't know where she was. And then I remember leaving the room and being in the clinic's bathroom and just kind of sitting on the floor in this really horrible pain and not knowing how to talk about it. It was a really isolating experience.
This sounds really hard.
Yeah, it was.
How would you describe, I mean, you probably try to block it out of your mind, but if you can, how would you describe what the pain was like?
It was kind of this sharp, continuous, like lower abdominal pain. It really is difficult to put into words. It wasn't like something I was used to or had experienced before.
After your gynecologist said that you could stay in the room, why do you think that they said that?
I think it was because of the pain. I think it was because of the intensity of it. But I also think it just wasn't a conversation until that point. I didn't know what was normal or what was extreme.
But they said essentially you could stay in the room to recover because you were in such distress.
Yes.
What happened? You said that you ended up in the bathroom and you're sitting on the floor. What was going on then?
I remember I was trying to get up. I was trying to leave. And I ended up going into the bathroom to take another few minutes because I found after I'd started walking that it was awful. And so I went into the bathroom and I found I couldn't stand up. I couldn't really do anything. And so I had to just sit on the floor, kind of like hold my stomach area. And I ended up there for probably 30 to 45 minutes.
Wow. That's a long time. Did anybody come in to check on you, whether you were in the room or in the bathroom? Did anybody come in to see whether you were okay?
No, I didn't have contact with anybody from that clinic after the doctor left.
Having gone through what you went through, what would you have wanted to know, or what would you have wanted to be different?
I think I would have wanted to have been informed more about the pain, or to have it be more of a conversation, particularly being a student who wasn't able to take a lot of time out of school and felt a pressure to return. I also think just kind of having a broader conversation about what kinds of pain are normal and how to get support following the insertion. I also personally think I would have done better if I had some kind of pain management options. I think in general, to just have been informed about the extent of the pain, because I think at the time I believed that I was being sensitive, or that I was weak or something like that. I kind of internalized this thought that the pain was my fault.
Is that what you were thinking? That this shouldn't, like, you're not overreacting, but you know what I mean? That this was something that was of, you know, your concern, not other people's concern.
Yeah, I think I thought in the moment that maybe I have a low pain tolerance, because I assumed that if it weren't a part of the conversation, I mean, I trusted my doctors. And so I thought they would have brought it up if this were a common issue. And so I thought it must be me.
What would you say, just before I let you go, what would you say? Because you talked about, you know, having the consultation, but you also looked online for information and what have you. If somebody who was your age at that point, if somebody now was thinking about this, what would you say to them?
I think I would tell them to ask more questions and to think about it, and to the best of their ability to open up a conversation with other people who have had it, with their medical professionals, and to like develop a network of support to get through that.
This is tough to talk about. I'm really grateful that you would speak about it, and I'm glad to have you on the program. Jada, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jada Gannon-Day is in Ottawa. Dr. Renee Hall is the medical co-director at the Willow Reproductive Health Center in Vancouver. Dr. Hall, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you make of what you just heard in terms of what Jada went through?
Immensely frustrating. As someone who trains people in our continuing professional development program in IUD insertion, it just feels really upsetting that there wasn't even a conversation, let alone an offer of additional pain medication for that person.
Can you describe for us, for people who don't know, how an IUD would be inserted?
So when we insert an IUD, we will insert a speculum into the vagina, which is basically a vagina holder opener. At that point, we can see the cervix, which is like the door to the uterus. And that's where we want to put the IUD. So it goes up inside the uterus. It's not something that's sitting in your vagina. So we have to get through that cervix, which is one point of pain. And then the second point of pain is the very top of the uterus when we touch the top of the uterus. So those are the two points, as well as the discomfort of having something opening up your vagina. And then on top of that, what contributes to the pain is what history you bring into the room, and what anxiety you have around pelvic examinations. And that's going to influence everything as well.
How painful can it be?
It can be excruciating, as some people have described. So it's rarely that. And it is true that the variety of pain is massive. We've had some people who chit-chat with me through it, and they've had 4 children and 3 previous IUDs, and it's absolutely, they say, are you done? That's it. Whereas you can go all the way up to what you heard there on that TikTok video.
You mentioned that you do training. When you yourself were trained, what were you taught about pain?
I was taught that it's generally and usually an easy procedure, and it's a little pinch, and it's very quick, and there is no pain management options that have been proven that will effectively manage pain for patients.
What sort of pain management options do you offer now, having had the training, but also knowing what you know?
So we offer non-medicinal things, of course, as everyone should, meaning trying to do anything we can to help make the person comfortable verbally and preparation-wise, and having a conversation ahead of time. As well, we happen to have an ultrasound, which may in fact help a little bit with pain, just in the sense that we know exactly which way we have to go. There isn't any poking around. And then there's oral medication. So you can take some medications that can help ahead of time. And then there's anti-anxiety. or stronger analgesic medications, but you'd need a ride home for that. And then there's freezing. And we use that a ton at our clinic. People come to us specifically for that. And then there's something new, which is an inhaled analgesia, and it seems to have quite a lot of promise. So we're starting to use that as well.
Is sedation something that you look at? I mentioned that in the U.S. Planned Parenthood offices are offering sedation for this.
Yeah. So the only way to be sure, because we're essentially guessing ahead of time, because we make an individualized plan, a custom plan for each person based on what their situation is, what their history is, how anxious they are. The only way to take it away for sure completely and be correct about it would be sedation. Having said that, hundreds of thousands of people getting sedation for all of their IUD insertions and removals and reinsertions would clog up our poor gynecologists OR time and may not be entirely realistic. However, it's definitely an option in certain cases, and we will refer people. But we do around 4,000 or 5,000 IUD insertions every year, and maybe a small handful, literally less than 10, we would send for sedation because they can do so well with so many of those other options that we have available.
What do you think is going on? And I'm not talking about your own practice, but what do you think is going on broadly when issues of pain perhaps aren't squaring with the patient's experience? There was a study that was done of 200 women, most of whom had given birth, and the women reported a maximum average pain score of nearly 65 on a scale of 0 to 100. The providers rated the women's pain at about 35. That does not match what the women were going through. Why do you think it is, and this speaks to what Jada was talking about, that perhaps the pain of this procedure is not being understood or recognized by some of the people who would be delivering that procedure?
Correct. We do have a bad history of not taking women's pain seriously. That's the part that's really, really frustrating. We for sure have done research. We're trying to give people pain management options prior to that. But the attention to the issue, the urgency around the issue has come up thanks to social media, which is great. It helps me a lot as a trainer because I do find that resistance there until there's very, very clear evidence saying this particular individual method works and will help you with your pain management. It's hard for doctors to sort through because it's difficult. It means that every single patient you need to have a conversation with, as Jada was asking for.
Well, why wouldn't people have a conversation with somebody if there's the possibility they could be in excruciating pain?
Yeah, they certainly should. And I think it's important to explain to people the variability. I think it's okay not to know, but at least if patients know that, to say some people, it's very, very easy and they walk out of here and go back to work and do this at lunch. And other people find it extremely painful and the rest of the day may be painful. And I'll be in the room with you after and I'm not going to leave. I'll write my notes and stay in here with you. And I have a 24-hour phone number that you can call. Those kinds of things would be super helpful for patients. And I think people are starting to pay attention to that. And we have clinics across the country called RACE clinics, R-A-I-C-E, it's race.ca, that sort of specialize in this sort of thing. So if people are looking to find a place that they know more comfortably, we'll talk about pain management options with them. That's one place that they can look.
You said that appropriate informed consent is not being given in the absence of a full discussion about the possibility of pain.
That's true. Yeah, that would not be a full appropriate consent if you're not disclosing that there could be a possibility of extreme pain.
How worried are you that patients like Jada, she talked about internalizing that pain, thinking that she had a low pain threshold, thinking that she, and part of this is how she was treated after when she was just left in a room and then left on the bathroom floor, but that it's about her, that it's not about a larger conversation. How worried are you about that?
It's personal because this happened in my family as well, where I had one of my family members believe that there was something wrong with her or her cervix because the inserter failed the insertion. And so I think it's really, really important that we normalize and make sure that the person doesn't walk away with the stigma and this misunderstanding about their own body.
Is your sense that conversation, I mean, TikTok does a lot of things, but one of the things it's doing is prompting this discussion. Is your sense that conversation is changing in offices like yours?
I do. And also with the support of the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, they put out a statement written by my colleague, Dr. Nicole Todd, back in 2022 saying, look, these are the things that we can use for pain management. And it is something that we should be discussing with our patients. So I was so pleased when that came out at the end of the year.
Last question to you. And it's the same question that I asked Jada. What would you say to women who are looking to get an IUD, but they're worried about the pain?
I would say that if you're not being asked the questions or being given the information right off the top, yes, it is important to ask them questions in return, but also to consider, is this where I want to go if they're not automatically discussing pain with me? And making sure that the person that they're having their IUD inserted with has done this a lot and is open to the discussion around all the options around pain.
Dr. Hall, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the attention to the topic.
I'm glad to give it attention. Dr. Renee Hall is the medical co-director of the Willow Reproductive Health Center in Vancouver.
I am going to tell you a story that a powerful state doesn't want you to know about tens of thousands who have disappeared.
Once they get into the hands of the military, they will be tortured brutally.
It's a story so dangerous to tell that for some, it's meant ending up on a kill list.
She was seen as a dangerous political actor and a threat to Pakistan's security, but she was a local hero.
The Kill List, a 6-part investigative podcast, available now. Get early access to episodes at cbc.ca/listen or by subscribing to the CBC True Crime Premium channel on Apple Podcasts.
Dr. Amanda Black is president of the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada, also a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Ottawa. Dr. Black, hello to you.
Good morning.
You heard our first guest, Jada, who was not prepared for the pain that she experienced during her appointment. That didn't come up in the conversations. It didn't come up in her research. How common are stories like that?
Well, I would say that the majority of patients do well with their IUD insertions. However, having said that, Jada's story, unfortunately, is not one that I haven't heard before. And some patients do experience much more intense pain, cramping, and discomfort during an IUD insertion. What's upsetting is hearing how that happened for Jada and the experience she had, and also not feeling that she was informed ahead of time and that she didn't really receive a lot of support afterwards. And I think we have a lot that we can do to try to make these experiences better for individuals.
What do you make of the fact that people are filming these procedures and posting it on TikTok? I mean, in part, that's to get a conversation going, but also to point out that the conversation needs to happen.
I think that's a very important point, that sometimes it takes something like patient advocates to really bring this to the forefront so that the medical community starts to take this seriously. And I think we have had a tendency as the medical community to minimize women's pain experiences in the past. So, you know, with IUD insertions or endometrial biopsies or even labor for that matter. And I think we really can't minimize the fact that people have had unpleasant experiences with IUDs insertions. And what we need to figure out is how can we improve that experience for them moving forward?
Why is it, and it's interesting in hearing what's happening in Dr. Hall's clinic, because it feels like they are doing the work that perhaps others aren't. But why don't all clinics offer a range of pain management, but also have that conversation about what the patient might go through? Why do you think that's not happening?
Well, I think part of the issue is that every patient is different. But just because every patient is different, it's still important that we don't dismiss the pain and discomfort that some of them may experience. So we need to look at changes to how we do our IUD insertions because of that. And again, this discussion is great because it brings to the forefront the fact that some people do not have a good experience with their IUD insertions or removals for that matter. I think one of the challenges is that because every patient is different, we do need to take a more individual approach. But part of that approach involves telling the patients ahead of time that they may experience discomfort and cramping, and some much more so than others.
That's that issue of appropriate informed consent.
Exactly.
That you're telling a patient what they're getting into.
Right. So they know ahead of time. And as Dr. Hall mentioned, that that pain or the discomfort they feel can range from, oh, you're done already, to the TikTok video that we just heard the audio for. So I think one of the things we really want to do is make sure that healthcare providers ensure that patients understand that during the procedure, they are in control, they can stop the procedure, take a break at any time, and that there are potential pain options for them to try to help improve that experience.
If we take a look at those options, I mean, again, in the United States, there are some clinics that are offering sedation. And this is something that, I mean, Dr. Hall talked about the complications of everybody perhaps being offered that. But is that an option here?
as you understand it?
So one of the challenges we have when we talk about pain control options for IUD insertions is there really hasn't been, when we look at studies, any clearly effective method to help decrease the pain. We've looked at anti-inflammatories and we've looked at analgesic sprays and gels and blocks and sedation, and we don't necessarily have good evidence. In fact, some of the things we did that we thought would actually help when we studied them have been shown to actually make it worse, and now it's not recommended. Having said that, I think it's individual. So being able to have the ability to use local anesthetic and perform something called a paracervical block, which is where we put freezing into the cervix to try to decrease pain during the insertion, I think that's important. I think the option of having the inhaled analgesic that's patient controlled, so that's another advantage to that. That's probably going to be a bit of a game changer for us. And again, not everybody may need it. I know Planned Parenthood, they announced that some of their clinics will offer IV sedation. The issue with IV sedation is not all clinics will be able to offer that because it will require some additional monitoring, access to emergency services just in case there's a complication for that, and in some cases needs to be done in an outpatient surgical suite. So I think it's important that we do have patients that we do use IV sedation for, but that's not something I think we are able to offer to all patients, partly because of the fact there are limited resources to do that, partly because not all patients will need that degree of interventions. We also want to ensure that people still have access to IUDs because it's a very effective method of contraception. In some cases, you know, it's actually effective for 8 years or more. What's important is that we have options available and that women are aware of the fact that there are options available for them.
You're the president of the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the Society put out a statement in 2022 acknowledging that women can feel different degrees of pain during the procedure and that they should be offered pain management options. Why do you think the Society felt the need to put that statement out?
That statement was issued partly in response to patients coming forward and women coming forward. You know, we do have IUD preceptorship programs, and that's part of the programs that the SOGC offers. But again, there may be providers who aren't aware of some of the changes that are out there, what's current best practice. And, like everything, it's always important to update guidelines and what's best practice. In the past, some providers were reluctant to use any type of pain medication or anesthetic to help with the procedure because they thought maybe it actually hurt more to do that than to put the IUD in. And I think this is just the SOGC coming out and saying, no, that's not necessarily the case. It's important to look at the individual patient, address their needs, and to consider some of the options that have been looked at and studied.
As a professor, how do you teach your students to approach women's pain? What do you say to them?
So the first things first, don't minimize their pain or the potential for pain.
Which speaks to why the Society put out that statement in the first place.
Exactly. And listening to Jada, when she was saying, I thought something was wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with her. And that's what I tell people ahead of time. I don't know how this is going to go for you, but if it hurts, let me know because there are things we can do. Or if you've had this done in the past, we will start with this right away. So when I'm training trainees, I talk to them about the importance of what we call anticipatory guidance. So be honest, acknowledge that each person's pain experience is different and don't minimize what they may feel. I go over with them the different techniques of the actual procedure that help minimize discomfort that patients may have, because there are little tips and tricks for that as well. We talk about the fact there's no clearly effective method, but there are options that can be used. I think we have more evidence now suggesting that some are maybe a bit more effective than we thought in the past, but really taking their time, explaining the steps to the patient, if that's what the patient wants, asking them if they want a support person in the room. There should be no surprises during the insertion procedure. And again, I'd always tell them, talk to the patient as you do it, let them know they're in control and that they can say stop at any time and you can regroup.
This is a question that I asked Dr. Hall. One of the things that you want to have happened is that there will be progress in this conversation. Is your sense that things are changing? I mean, part of this is about guidelines, but again, what we're hearing on TikTok suggests that a lot of women are still going through something that they didn't expect to happen. So just finally, Dr. Black, is your sense that this is different now than it was before?
I think the reason it's different is because there's awareness now. We can definitely do better, and we're making changes to how we do our IUD insertions, how we educate educate providers on how to do IUD insertions. And I really thank the women who have come forward bravely because they're sharing traumatic experience to help us as providers improve on that experience and do better, because we obviously can do better. And it's important that we have the support of our patients to be able to drive change with our healthcare provision.
Dr. Black, good to talk to you about this. It's important. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Amanda Black is the president of the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada, also a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Ottawa. Your thoughts on this welcome, and it's about the specific issue of IUDs, but also, as we heard, the broader issue of women's pain and the medical establishment. You can email us, thecurrent@cbc.ca.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.